Good afternoon to you. My name is Anton Carlos Vélez Braga, Superintendent of Industrial Relations with the media. We now start the transmission of webcast referring to the third quarter of 2017 with the attendances of Dr. Abdelaziz Almeida, Finance and Industrial Relations, and Dr. Paulo Guimarães, Chief Officer for Management, Corporate Finance. Well, the numbers for contact and following up on this conference are 55 11 21 88 01 55, and also through our website ri.cemig.com.br. Dr. Abdelaziz, our Finance Chief Officer, now sitting for the CEO, he is not able to participate in this call due to a last minute duty he had to attend to. Let's now move into the first slide, page number 3, results of the third quarter. Net revenue 4.9% up, EBITDA 455 billion reais. The net profit minus 84. We have some non-recurrent effects that really complicated our analysis, and EBITDA adjusted would be 405 million in the third quarter, and the adjusted profit would be 50 million negative. Okay, look at our net revenue was positive in the quarter, with the CVA adding with the results to the net revenue as compared to third quarter 2016. We also have the effects of the generation indemnity revenue at 260 million in gains. One of the highest impacts was the adhesion to the Eslavizi. That's the new tax program offered by the state, with 574 million in EBITDA and some more in the net profits. We also had negative impacts from equity. Santo Antônio Renova had negative contributions in amounts superseding that. It's important to stress that although the high level indebtedness, we have reduced our cost with debt in this quarter. And also a positive effect on the calculation of monetary update at the 278 million in gains. In the next slide, could you please tell us about the non-recurrent effect? On page 4 of our presentation, we have EBITDA in the third quarter as 1,100 million and adjusted 405. Well, two non-recurrent effects. One of them is the non-regularity. Maybe adhered to the new program offered by the state for tax regularization, and it's provided for reduction of 90% on the interest. In some cases, 95% on interest and penalties. Although these are shares that we included the risk involved in those shares and the risk to which the company was exposed, we considered the offer from the state to be very advantageous, and we really regularized our situation. This was a one-off effect, and it reduced the risk of the company. Another effect on EBITDA was revenue of generation transmission in the Transimal and Miranda plants. The difference representing until September, 260 million plus with regard to the book value, the book figure. This doesn't mean that the company would see that as the final correct figure. We're still discussing with the Minister of Energy, trying to identify possible differences in their criteria. And then we'll have the possibility to get the final compensation figures. This would be the minimum amount to be received, according to the ministry. Another extraordinary effect, leading to 133 million. That's an issue we discussed with the Minas Gerais government that involved money that was returned to the state. At that point, the criterion used was questioned, and we considered that it should be updated at that amount. And the provision of these values and the difference between this and the GPM because of expectations of losses at that moment. This was returned to the state government, and there was a consensus on that. And we now have a chance to reverse the preliminary injunction. And the positive effect would be 103 million on our net revenues. 84 million in losses. And 50 million in the other case. The next slide, I'll hand it over again to Dr. Vallis. Many of the factors indicated here, we have already commented on regularity, for example, because it has to do with that. It enters by reducing the net revenue. With regard to CVA, I have mentioned that before, the impact from the reversal of CVA, the realization of CVA in the third quarter, the total impact was at 754 million reais in addition, as against the same quarter last year. Also, with a supply of gas from Gasmigi, also in generation indemnity revenue, 160 million, as I said before, and important to say, the revenues from the CCE spot price increased in 24 million rise from the same quarter last year. It's important to see that, because this was in face of very challenging conditions, and our strategy for protection of community GP revenues, allocation and contract management, the MIDI had a debtor position at CCE rather than a purchasing one. Some of these purchases were conducted in the first semester of the year at prices very close to or even above our average price for selling energy, that are still much below what the spot showed in the third quarter. All of this to say that we managed to protect the revenues of GP, but it's not comparable to potential loss that we could have incurred if we didn't have followed this strategy. Even if small contribution from CCE, they should be celebrated in this third quarter of 2017. Could you please comment on this slide of page 6, operational expenses? Yeah, the evaluation as compared to the previous period. A few comments would apply. We made a huge effort to reduce operational expenses, and I think the investors could see the good results obtained by the company. Although we reduced costs with personnel at only 15 million, we should say that this is in current cash, otherwise it would be even higher. It's important to stress that in 2017, we conducted that voluntary retirement program. We have the inclusion of some 1,200 employees, and with a very substantial amount in savings for the future even of the company. And all provisions for consumer default or doubtful debts last year, it was near 200 million. And this year, the amounts will be very much lower, even as compared to the third quarter of 2016, which was close to 50 million. Our provisions grew in this year of 2017, also related to investment in Paraty and Saadi, and the expenses for next year will be just residual as compared to what we have today. You can compare the controllable costs, almost all of them down this year, and the only higher ones, for example, are due to this higher price of what energy because of meteorological conditions, and the same happens to the basic transmission grid. Also, higher revenues from GasMid, which is not bad. Next slide, we have the consolidated debt profile. Dr. Valley perhaps will talk about that, and Paula could help us. Yes, I do it gladly. Good afternoon. The debt of GasMid is a point that attracts attention, of course. And we can see commitment maturing in 2017, 2018. that's almost in 2018, almost half of the net debt of Sydney B. One important point, or two important points, the reflection of cash generation of the company, we can call it a robust one. It allowed us this year, 2017, to have reduced the debt by 1 billion reais. This was done at Sydney Generation and Transmission, but also it was a reduction in the debt as a function of internally generated resources used in debt payment. With that regard, Sydney is seeking the reprofiling of its debt through negotiations with local creditors and also in the international market. This should allow us to have for this year's debt in the upcoming years to have a reprogramming of payments all the way up to 2022 in conditions that will be suitable and suited to the cash flow of the company. And the company will safely, securely meet its obligations. I would say even that the debt does not just involve the profiling, but also an effort to reduce the debt itself. Not only the resources internally generated, but also through the sale of assets, which is part of this investment plan that the media announced in June this year. The funding that are coming from this will be used to reduce the level of debt in the company. And it's also important to stress that the monetary policy to reduce the tax interest rates rather in Brazil have helped a lot. We mentioned that in our last conference call, and from now on we expect further reduction of 1 point in this will reduce our financial burden very substantially and will reduce then the debt profile of the company. Well, the reduction has been justified by my colleagues in previous slides as leverage has been reduced. Just natural that the leverage indicators are directly impacted, but respecting the commitment to extend the debt profile and conducting efforts according to strategy to apply our resources to settle the debt. Thank you, Paulo. Going to the next slide, page 8, we have the main lines of results of Sydney GT. As we have often said, this was affected by FPS, the new position in the spot market, but as we had this non-recurring effect of the generation indemnity revenue, as we calculated SunEdGT EBITDA, it sits at 68 million reais in this quarter. SunEdGT had the highest impact on the negative equity income effect. Santo Antônio and Hanover are the main negative participations contributing to this effect on the equity income. All the others with positive effects on that regard, in that regard are not part of the Nibijiti. So I think that this, in terms of results of the Nibijiti, is very clear. And the next slide, any further comments about the adjusted EBITDA? Although adjusted EBITDA is near 70 million, this is an effect of the generation problems that are general to Brazil. As a result of this issue, even though that happened, EBITDA was positive, and Renov and Santo Antonio helped that effect. But this was a one-off situation due to the very strict hydrological regime seen this year. In view of our strategy for protection and allocation of funding, we believe that the NGT is coming out much better from the situation than other companies in the market during the same period. Father, would you like to add any comments on the issue of GT leverage? Well, the consolidated comment could be applied in here too. There's reduction in 1 billion from our debt. It happened also in the GT area. As I said, this issue has been already addressed by top management, and we believe that the extension of this debt will be obtained in the short term. The next slide, page 11, we have the main results of CEMIG Distribution. Again, CEMIG Distribution had the highest impact from the Glarivi program. And when we reverse that effect, we can see that EBITDA nearing 240 million reais, which is substantially better. However, CEMIG Distribution still keeps being affected by the overall economic situation in Brazil, the captive market has a growth of a very small amount, despite default and other losses. It sits much better this year than last year. And then everything ends up impacting and affecting the NGDs to be done. But we understand that with the economic recovery expected for next year and further tax reductions, we believe that this will be reversed as of next year. Any other comments on adjustments of CEMIG Distribution? You can see this is below regulatory EBITDA, but while we're still suffering this year with the tariffs having been reduced and so on in recent years, that portion of the revenues that we deduct to cover our operational costs are also impacted, and this adjustment here has been made in May when this tariff revision is done. And in view of the investments made over the years by the company, all the issues involving opportunities for further gains. The retirement plans and so on. We understand that next year the results will be much better, reflecting all the news by the company. The new regularity program offered by the state government, 241 million positive here, but as a result of all the moves that have been made internally, we will have better results for next year. As for CEMIG D, as we said before, and the compromising of our leverage target has been avoided. We can calculate the indicators. Leverage indicator with this adjusted EBITDA would be higher than what CEMIG understands as reasonable with this conversion of EBITDA, but this situation, we're trying to reverse it by reducing our debt using the selling of assets as the main source of funding. Very well, thank you. In slide 14, what we have there is investment plan for 2017 and what has been realized by September. This investment plan is rather, as we could say, continuous in view of the company's situation. We are doing just the minimum needed. We should highlight investments in CAPEX of CEMIG-D resulting from the tariff review expected for next year, in which we expect to capitalize investments timely enough to allow a reversal of this. We are making the minimal necessary investment to keep the operations running, and with our regulatory commitment and to keep the quality of our system and to have a successful revision next year. Then we show the cash flow of the company. We should highlight a few items that are important to demonstrate CEMIG's capacity to generate cash, even paying virtually almost 1 billion. We were able to generate more than 2 billion of cash from our operations. Approximately 3 billion reais in cash generation capability. That's very significant in a time where the hydrological regime has not been helping at all. So we see that as relevant. And this cash generation was capable of generating a reduction of 1.4 billion. That's substantial as well in our debt. In investment, you can see here intangibles, all investment, or part of the remuneration that is to be approved in May next year. With this, we have finished the cash end of September at 582. That's basically what we have to say. I'd like to finalize this by adding some comments on results in the upcoming future for the company. It's important to stress that, as Paul said, we have reduced the debt of the company ever since September last year to September this year, very substantially, demonstrating the capacity the company has of meeting its obligation. It's important to stress that the media distribution shows signs of recovery after the regular easy adjustment. The EBITDA is stronger and the impact has been reduced on negative impact on results. This should go on next year. The NGT, although we have difficulties in GCS, it's been overcoming the challenging period very well. And this should happen also in the quarter, in the fourth quarter. As for the extension of the debt profile and this investment, we should proceed to announcement of the reprofiling. At any time now, we are nearing completion of the process. In the short term, we should extend the debt to more comfort so that the internal cash generation can really allow us to meet the commitments into the next years. Also, capital increase of distribution should happen by the end of the month. And we should complete another revision of 3.1 billion reais, and this resource is destined for community distribution. About the disinvestment programs, we have high-risk investment to happen in the short term with a GPS account. We use that to pay that by December of the cut, and this will go on until the liquidity event with the spiraling of light comes to be materialized. As it has been publicized, it's ongoing. We have received a lot of non-binding offers in the direct recommendation from our attorneys and advisors. We refrain from commenting further details, but if we have approval for selection of the best offers within the next day. And then we will go for the due diligence stage with the binding proposals and selecting the best one and signing of the contract. And after approvals, we should complete the process. It should be concluded in the first semester next year. Negotiations on Santo Antonio are suffering some delays in view of the planned auctions in September, but they are now being resumed, and this should be happening in the next day. We should see the signing of these transactions. So, lots of good events in the horizon, and we expect that to happen to the fact that we extend our debt. bringing the timetable to more comfortable levels. And as we complete the processes, for example, the Hanover process with a capital increase in the beginning of next year, as expected, and then we should get some 400 million reais from this. And with all these investments, we will get very close to 2.5 debt profile, as we have been disclosing repeatedly ever since our general meeting in June this year. Any further comments? No? So then, let's now move on to the Q&A session. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin our session, Q&A session. If you want to make a question, please press star 1. To remove the question from the list, just press grid or send your email to ri@cemig.com.br. If you sometimes have a question, good afternoon. My first question is about the debt. You mentioned that you expect to issue bonds abroad this year. I would like to understand whether this is really an alternative for the changes in debt for the company. Conditions don't seem to be too favorable, but I want to understand whether this is still an option for you. Don't you think that perhaps this window of time is not too favorable? What about with that now? You mentioned the adhesion to that program, the state tax program, stabilization program. And we understand that this will be conveyed to the final consumer, who is the one who ends up paying anyway. Any expectation that this charge can be transferred down to the consumer, or are you considering some loss on that resource or that source of funds in other ways to recover that, in your opinion? Thank you. Good afternoon, Carolina. Paulo Eduardo here at CEMIG. About the issue of issuing bonds abroad, ever since May this year, when we made the presentation to our investors, we talked about that possibility. We have been talking to investors, several of them, along these lines. In that first moment, we thought that our offer could involve some points still pending initiatives to be taken by the company, such as participation on the auctions, selling of assets, and so on. We decided to address all these points before we came back to the market. This investment program of the company, we have announced the selling of some of our assets, well advanced in some cases. We made some adjustments also in our offer conditions to make it more attractive to the market, to the investment market. We have noticed a very positive reaction of the market to that effect. We have been getting calls from investors asking when we are going back to the market. That's an interesting investment anyway? Would the conditions improve as we have described? And with the positive news we should bring to investors, I believe that we will have big chances to be successful in this attraction of funds. This is the scenario we're working with. As for the Glarizo, about that, the revision by the company to the program, we took into consideration the fact that this could lead to some legal discussions. It's important to say that as for computing, we are already charging these values, so there are no more risks spending into the future, but we understand that we entered the expenses in the past because the reimbursement of those amounts is no longer possible, we believe, and we charge from the consumers anyway. If you allow me a final question. We see that you improved a lot your cost aspects. Should we consider your present cost with personnel as, you know, the new level, or are there any further measures you can take to bring it even lower down? As for costs with payroll, we understand that we expect even lower levels next year. The full effect of the retirement plan will be seen next year. It will remain decreasing, and we will have in 2018 the full effect of that in our payroll. Also, to comment that this year we have incurred in substantial costs, and that it brought our CLD to come down below what we had last year, but we're still not satisfied with that result and with the series of initiatives we are taking. The expectation is that this keeps decreasing in the next next quarters. Any more questions? No, that's it. Thank you. Our next question comes from Sati, UBS. Good afternoon. Thank you for the call. I have a doubt about the process of capitalization, as you intend to do in the short term. When the capitalization was announced, shares of Tamigi were at around 8 reais. So it was good at the time to subscribe. But ever since, share values of Tamigi have come down. What happens then if you don't have that option? Will the state inject more funds or what? That's my question. Marcelo, good afternoon and thank you for your question. I would say this. In reality, we need to leave the subscription process, you know, to run its course. Up to 29 November, they have time to subscribe, the present shareholders, that is, and then the leftovers in the market. This makes sense if, of course, share values are above subscription values, what we should have to wait for anyway. The reprofiling and the selling of Taesa shares, the issuing of bonds, etc. When we announce all this should be easier to happen. But in case there is no full subscription, the state and other minority shareholders may decide to go for an increase in capital, and Finnish can, for example, go for another subscription. Anyway, it really depends on what level will the subscription hit by the date. What about a possible review of that at the moment? No, that's not possible because there are shareholders who have already subscribed at that value, so we must wait and let it run its full course, and then we'll analyze what to do next. About payment of KUCH, you said that part of that would be paid by November 30, and another part would be postponed. That would be conditioned to selling Taisa until that date. Otherwise, we wouldn't have the cash to pay for that. Isn't that? Yes, that's it. Another question about GSS and contracted energy for 2018. What do you have in that regard? The last figure we had was what was presented to us in early this year. It's possibly outdated. What do you have in that regard for 2018? Well, this is the new threshold is a little lower than what we had in early this year, but it's still a small level, or low level somehow, but we're dealing with that very carefully for 2018. In view of the very challenging moment we're going through in Brazil, GSS, if it is high, then you will be short in 2018. At this precise moment, yes. This may change, but we have never had a relevant position in that regard up to now. Thank you. The next question comes from HSBC. My question is about the reprofiling of the debt. I'd like to hear from you about rollover costs. Then what would be your expectations in terms of the issuing of bonds? Thank you. But this issue, in view of the very dynamics of our negotiation, we cannot comment on that, but rollover cost is appropriate to our conditions of in terms of leverage and liquidity as we have today in the company. It doesn't differ too much from what we have done ever since 2016. It's important to stress that this cost includes a substantial contribution from a reduction of CDI. At every percentage point that's reduced, we reduce our debt in 112 million per year. So this tax reduction, or the rate reduction, has been contributed to the improvement of our debt profile. Just to add to what Paulo said, to sum it up, this spread will perhaps bring that debt a little higher, but the final cost is substantially below than what we had in 2016. And the point is that as soon as we wrap that up, we'll announce the figures and terms. Thank you. Next question, Marcelo, UBS. Just one more question. With regard to light, I read an article today at Valor Econômico saying that you received an offer, but it was insufficient. I understand that you now take position in that regard. Will you proceed with the due diligence, or you do it anyway because the price, even though not as much as expected, you would go on with it anyway? That's the kind of question that I couldn't answer at this point, and I apologize. But I cannot answer this question right now. Thank you. Please, if you want to make a question, please press star one. Remain connected. This call will be resumed in a few moments.